It's time for Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Mat-Su Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. It's my great pleasure to have on the phone a gentleman who is in charge of, sort of in charge of the Alaska State Fair. Jerome, tell people what your real title is.
Well, I am the CEO of the Alaska State Fair.
Right. And being the CEO, what does that mean?
Well, it means I'm an executive schlepper. That's what it means. No, I'm just kidding. That means I get the privilege and the honor of directing a great staff of people that make this fair happen. We've got some really great employees here, staff and department heads at the Alaska State Fair who have probably over 100 years of experience in the fair industry and at the Alaska State Fair. So my job is just to oversee them, you know, make sure they're doing their jobs, give them the tools, everything they need to do their jobs, and a great job they do.
So remind listeners how long you have been there at the Alaska State Fair.
I came to Alaska in the fall of 2014 and started my position here at the fair. I came from another state fair in South Dakota. So my first fair was the fair of 2015.
Whoa, 7 years ago. Wow.
Yes, 7 years, and it's gone by fast.
So one of the things that I have noticed, and Radio Free Palm, Big Cabbage Radio is there at the fair now. We've been there preceding your arrival, broadcasting live each day from noon to five. And as a result of that, because we have a lot of volunteers, I am free from our booth from time to time, and I wander about. And I have appreciated the opportunity to be there when the fair begins, say on a weekday and then onto weekends. And the fair has a kind of a tidal action as more and more people come into it during the day. And I try to convey that to people, saying that if you arrive at the fair and you pick a moment in time, and even if you spend 5 or 6 hours, you're only catching just a whiff of what is really the Alaska State Fair. Would you comment about that observation I've just made?
Yeah, sure. You know, every fair has their own, I think, culture and characteristics and stuff. And we have a lot of it here. You know, so when you come to the fair, there are so many different things going on, so many things to see, so many exhibits, so many concerts, so many acts, so much entertainment on, you know, 5 or 6 different free stages. All the activities and things that are happening in the livestock barn, back in the equestrian center, at the concert venue, of course, all the vendor booths, the carnival area. There's just so much to see and do. And, you know, to get it all done, it's going to require more than just an afternoon at the fair.
Right. Right. And you're pointing to the differences, you know, when the fair opens up in the early part of the day and go through the day and then the evenings and so on. I also know that there are some days when there are more people at the fair than other days. And although I sometimes enjoy the feel of a crowd, it's also nice to have a little bit of room and fewer lines at some of the popular places, the rest of it. But that's my observation. What I'm curious about is over the 7 years, if you think back to when you first arrived to the time today, what would you describe as the most significant changes in the fairgrounds? Let's start there.
Well, in the fairgrounds, we've made some improvements to the grounds, of course, to some of the infrastructure. You know, there's a lot of things you don't see here on the grounds that need to be taken care of. You know, I think we have over 50 buildings on the grounds that all have repairs and things that need to be done. Some of the infrastructure things that you perhaps do notice are, you know, things like a new restroom on Yellow Trail. The gathering place stage was something that we built over there with the different vendor booths and the stage. and including the Native Alaskan culture into the fair. That was one of the things that, you know, we're really proud of, is including that in the fair. Improvements we've made to some of the other areas in the livestock programs and things like that, because we are an agricultural-based fair, and that is our goal and our mission and our purpose. So we try and take care of that area of the grounds and the programming and everything there. And some of the other, you know, little projects and things that go on in the grounds and the improvements. The Rybarchuk Agricultural Park is a new thing that we developed. It's not right inside the fairgrounds, but it's adjacent to the fairgrounds on property we own. So things like that are some of the really nice improvements and stuff that have been made to the grounds.
One of the things that we are aware of here in Alaska is that there are some smaller fairs around the state, but the Alaska State Fair here in Palmer is by far the largest. And it feels like, in my guess, the single most attended event, because it spreads over a number of days and all. And we've been hovering somewhere in the high 200,000, roughly 300,000 participants, people who come to visit. What's your sense of, since we've had that time of the pandemic and all, what's your sense of how things are evolving? Any guess about attendance this year, for example?
Well, you know, of course, we had the pandemic in 2020, and we had to close the fair just to be really cautious about, because we didn't know what was going to happen. In 2021, you know, we had an increase in attendance, and one of our highest attendance, 305,000 in the past 10 years, perhaps.
Wow.
You know, so people came out. They were ready to come out and enjoy the fair, of course, after having it shut down. And, you know, last year we went to a different business model, too, as far as the number of days that we were open. And we went from a 2-weekend fair to a 3-weekend fair. So we're open longer. We're open on an additional weekend so that we could spread the crowds out and be safe, so that we didn't have too many people here on any one weekend. That was very successful last year. It was good for the fair. The vendors all appreciated it. We are closed 2 days during the week, so it gives the vendors and everybody an opportunity to kind of regroup, resupply, rest up for kind of another run going through a weekend. But that was a very successful business model. I think it was better for the customer. I think it was better for the fair. We're going to keep that business model moving forward, having 3 weekends and closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays during the week. And we think it's going to be very successful again this year. And we're really looking forward to it. We're hoping for some great weather, but yeah, we feel like that's going to work out well again.
Well, as a participant, someone who's there every day, I can tell you that I liked it. It was nice. There's something of a marathon quality when you go for 11 days or however long, versus taking a little bit of a break and then coming back. But particularly vendors being able to, you know, recoup, replace, and all the rest of it. I'm also aware that there have been some fixtures that have appeared. There's a couple of rides that are now there that formerly rides were, well, they were set up and then taken down, but there are a couple that remain in place year-round. Would you describe some of that?
Yeah, so for the first time ever, we have a permanent roller coaster that just stays here and stays set up on the grounds. It's the largest roller coaster in Alaska, and it was set up permanently. It's called the Aftershock, and yeah, Golden Wheel brought that new ride in and set it up, and they're going to leave it up permanently, because it's an expensive ride to put up and take down all the time. So it's going to have a permanent fixture here on the grounds.
Right. Well, I have been to the fairgrounds, not just during the time of the fair, but at other times. There have been the Highland Games, there are dog shows, and all the rest. What portion of the year, or how many events, large events of that sort, are held at the fair in addition to the fair itself?
Yeah, we have a lot of off-season events where, you know, some of the events we promote, but the majority of the events. We just like to be a resource for the community, be able to offer these buildings and grounds to the community. So we have over 70 off-season events, and I think that's a thing that a lot of people don't realize is, you know, we're open all year long, and we have these events just about every weekend that the fair is now running. Different things going on, things you mentioned like the Scottish Highland Games, the dog shows, all those different things.
And it's also possible to rent a building. Raven Hall comes to mind as a place, a venue, and even some of the other smaller buildings are available. Is that true too?
Yeah, very, very popular. Raven Hall, Hoskins Building. The Colony Church is another facility that we have wedding receptions in and weddings in. Weddings take place out here on the grounds, and we have wedding reception out here. Different trade shows, vintage market, you know, flea market type shows, gun shows, you know, Halloween shows, brew fests, just about anything and everything we've had here on the grounds.
Right. Well, I'm particularly interested each year for the last couple of years. We've driven through in the winter toward Christmas. There's the light display, and that's been a very popular event, I think.
Yeah, it's been great. We brought that light display in 2020, you know, during the pandemic, and giving people an opportunity to do something that was really safe event-wise. It was very popular. We brought it back last year. We added an ice maze type thing to the mix past year.
Right.
And it did very well. And we're going to have it again. The holiday light display will be back with different displays. All those displays are manufactured in the lower 48. So what we do is we send the old ones, ship them down to the lower 48, and have new ones that come up and will be a part of the new holiday light display this year.
Oh, very good. Well, you've mentioned safety a couple, three times here, and I have to ask the question because many people are watching warily, having become weary of mitigation strategies for COVID, but noting that COVID still is around. I'm aware anecdotally of a number of people I know well, a neighbor, relative, whatever, who's come down with COVID recently. How are you monitoring what's happening as we head toward late August in terms of any strategies to ensure safety, and what are the present recommendations for people who go to the fair?
Yeah, so, you know, we stay in close contact with the Department of Health, and we monitor that very closely. We have, you know, protocols and things that we implemented last year that are going to be in place again this year as far as the hand washing stations, disinfecting the buildings, you know, on a regular basis and stuff, having masks and stuff available, recommending that people who are sick, don't feel well, that they don't come to the fair. And not spread that. So if you're sick, feeling ill, you know, please don't come to the fair. We are 3 weekends now, so hopefully you can get better and you still can have an opportunity to come to the fair. And that's why we kept the 3 weekend model too. You know, I think everyone recognizes that, you know, perhaps COVID is here for, going to be here for a while, and we're going to have to deal with it. So we're learning how to live with it, and that's what we're doing. We're keeping the same safety measures in place. We're doing the 3 weekends, and we're encouraging people to be cautious. If you don't know, you know, consult with your doctor and ask their advice. But yeah, we recognize that COVID is still around, and like you said, it's circulating again a little bit in the community and in the state, and yeah, we're well aware of that.
Okay. So when you're using the term we, you're talking about yourself and the staff, but there's another body. There is a board of directors for the State Fair, Alaska State Fair. Talk a little bit about how that's constituted and when there are elections and all the rest of it.
Yeah, so, you know, we're governed by a 7-member board of directors who are elected by the membership, all those people that are members of the fair, and anybody can be a member of the fair. They just have to sign up and be a member of the fair, and that gives them voting rights to vote for board members. And they have 3-year terms. They serve 3-year terms. They can be reelected for a certain number of terms. But we have a great group of people who, for different backgrounds in the community and in the state, that serve on the board. And, you know, that's what makes it such a great fair. I've been at different fairs that have been, you know, under government entities, and I can tell you this board and how we develop that board and their governance policy. We're a 501c3 nonprofit, so we have it structured that way, and the system and how this fair operates very well. The board basically sets those policies, sets those guidelines, how I can operate the fair. They recognize that they set goals. They recognize that there's different ways of accomplishing those goals. So they let me accomplish that goal the way that I want to accomplish those goals. And they recognize that as long as we're moving forward and we're accomplishing those goals and achieving that. So a great board. Anybody can run for the board. You have to be a member, of course, to run for the board, a member in good standing. But yeah, we encourage people to be a part of the process.
What does it take to become a member?
You just have to sign up to be a member. I believe a 1-year membership. I have to look again. I think it's only $25 to be.
Right. But you can become a lifetime member too.
Become a lifetime member also, yes.
Right.
And be a member for life, yes.
Mike Malevsky here at BitCabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. It's my great pleasure. I'm talking with Jerome Hertel, who's the one who's in charge of the fair, the one who receives ultimately complaints or plaudits or whatever. Jerome, I've asked a whole bunch of questions. You've very nicely answered them, but I may have missed some things that you want to make sure that listeners are aware of. What else would you like to share with them?
Well, I'd just like to share we're 21 days now away from the fair. We're looking forward to having a great fair this year. It takes a lot of planning, a lot of work to get to this point, to get to a point where we can open the doors. And we're just happy to be here. We're happy that we're giving people an opportunity to reconnect with family and friends, you know, to celebrate Alaska, to celebrate our culture, to be able to provide educational opportunities to people, for them to explore new ideas and new ways of doing things out here at the fair. So we encourage everybody to come out, participate in the fair. Like you said, it's an epic celebration, the largest celebration in the state of Alaska, and we just look forward to the whole community, the whole state of Alaska coming together.
Well, thank you for that. One last question I would have as we're toward the end here, and perhaps as an enticement for people. Each year there's something new that's added, and I think something new in two particular areas. One, food, and the second, events. What do we have this year that might be in that category of new?
Well, we have, I believe we have 4 new food vendors this year.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of turnover as far as vendors, but we do have some turnover, and so it's a great opportunity to bring some new food items into the fair. So the Hungry Deckhand, Alaska Cannoli, Expedition Barbecue, MJ Concessions, just 4 of the different ones that are going to be here as far as some new and different food items. Of course, some of the other vendors have some new and different food items on their menus also.
Got it, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that's what everybody thinks about when I think about coming to the fair, of course, is the food, the carnival rides, and, of course, the big concerts, the entertainment. We have 13 different concerts this year at the fair. Camp, Chris Jansen, Blue Oyster Cult, Toby Mac, Chase Beckham, Rise Against, Leanne Rimes, a Dry Bar comedy event, Darcy Lynn Farmer, Shaggy and Common Kings, Brothers Osborne, Bare Naked Ladies, and Lauren Daigle on the last day of the fair.
Wow. Long.
So a great, great entertainment lineup this year.
And then, of course, I have to put a plug into the whole ag portion, particularly the animal auction that happens, and the cabbage weigh-off, too.
Absolutely. You know, has always been a big part of the fair, the cabbage weigh-off Friday, September 2nd, I believe, this year.
Right.
Yeah, always a big part of the fair. And actually, I think for the first year, I think I've grown a cabbage big enough to enter.
Ah, I won't ask you how much it is. We don't want to get people shaking in their boots out there. So
I've grown one every year for the past, 6 or 7 years, but it's been embarrassingly small, so I haven't entered it.
Okay.
But this year, for the first year, I think I might have one big enough that I might be able to at least not come in last place.
Okay. Jerome, thank you very much for persisting in sharing this information about the fair. I'll be seeing you there. I'll be there, and I suspect many of our listeners will be too. Stay well out there.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Valley Edition, a weekly panel discussion on current issues in the Matsu Valley, moderated by Mike Malevsky. Valley Edition is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of hosts or guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.